Well, we're going to start with Psalm 33, verse 12. I think this is one of Denny's favorites. If it's not, because, but if I go to the book of Proverbs, then he really gets excited. But Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance. It's talking about us. It's talking about us. But our nation is favored by God. Favored by God. Think about that. Where would we be without that favor of God on this nation? Brother, you gave an interesting thing. So I just want you all remember today, every time I say God bless America, what Denny said up here. That's important. Think about that. It was really good, brother. Now, this nation, as he said, there was a span before that. That's why I wanted to know if you looked at them. I told Dan, did he look at my notes? On April 29th, 1607, a nation was born. The 105 colonists and seamen who sailed from England walked on the shores of Cape Henry, Virginia. Here was laid the foundation for what would become the most powerful country the world would see. The dynamic story that was to be the United States unfolded that day at Cape Henry and sparked the legacy of godliness in American shores. On the shore that very day, a cross was erected, and Reverend Robert Hunt offered the following prayer. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations, as long as this earth remains. And may this land, along with England, be evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. April 29th. Yeah, April is a great month. Is for me. Was all the way back in 1954. But real simple. Reverend Hunt declared, from these very shores the gospel shall go forth, not only to this new world, but to the entire world. Followed by his reading of Psalms 22, 27 to 28. Or Proverbs 22. I did say Psalm. Proverbs 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for catching me. Now you got to remember that. Let me read the scripture before I go get ahead of myself. I think I'd be better. Okay. Proverbs 22. All right. May those in faraway countries remember the Lord and come back to Him. May those in distant lands worship Him, because the Lord is the King. He rules all nations. America's destiny and purpose were sealed with the cross at Cape Henry. All that would follow in our nation's growth hinged on the single proclamation that this land belonged to Jesus Christ. They claimed it for Jesus. Now, that cross was there for a long time. They planted it, they left, and they went inland, and that's when Jamestown was, that was where they formally set up their first place, Jamestown. But anyhow, right now, there's a granite cross that replaced the original wooden cross, and they put it up and dedicated it on April 26, 1936. Why? I think because people needed to be reminded. That's what history's about. That's why we have monuments and statues to remind us of our history. How long before somebody tears this one down or defaces it? I'm getting fed up with that too. So remember, that cross was put up. He said, may all who see this cross, now it's granite there, so granite, remember what we have done here, and may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work that the Holy Spirit can work the scriptures so they may be fulfilled. We got to have reminders. That's what America was established for, to get the gospel out. There are still places in our own country that have not heard the good news. That's a fact. You'd think because everything going on, there are some people who just don't get into social media. Because nowadays, I mean, that's where everybody gets all their news, same, the social media. They don't turn on the TV. It's a dying thing there. But also in the Mayflower Compact of 1620, the Pilgrims reaffirmed the mission set forth by the original Virginia settlers. All of us, I'm talking all of us, were taught that the Pilgrims, they came to this country for the freedom of worship or the freedom of religion. But that's really not true, says Dr. Peter Marshall. He's an author and a historian. I'm going to say read what he wrote. He says, they said that they came to America to propagate the gospel among the Indians and to become themselves stepping stones for the furtherance of the gospel to the outermost parts of the earth. They were missionaries. They were missionaries. Now, in Matthew 28, verse 19, they were doing what Jesus told them to do. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. They boldly went out to take it to the Indians. Now, you're thinking, wow, that sounds really, you know, there was a lot of there were some ugly things that happened too during that time. What they did to the Indians, which wasn't right. But there were some that were good that got things straightened out. You know, because I don't want somebody that knows history to say, hey, you know, it wasn't all that good. No, I guarantee you they. But the Puritans, they carried the Cape Henry legacy further. See, on the deck of the Arbella, did I say that right, Flo? Doc, did I get that right? Arbella? That's it, Arbella. Okay, halfway between England and Cape Cod, their leader, John Winthrop, declared, are you ready for this, brother? We shall be as a city upon a hill. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the light that shines for the world to see. You are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Winthrop goes on to say, the eyes of all people are upon us. So that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. Dr. Marshall says that Winthrop's phrase was revealing here. When you begin and bring up what he said there in that phrase, the city upon a hill, that is the heart and the core of what America's been about since the day one. Amen. Connected, Brother Holy Spirit. Point being here that the basis for American life was to be a committed Christian. Yes, we are to be committed Christians who were to so let their light shine to one another and then to the whole world, that the world could see this by example. By example. Because Jesus goes on in verse 16 of Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. More than 100 years later, as America set off on her own course towards independence, the godly foundations laid in Virginia established the character of the revolution, our revolution. Before God, I believe the hour has come, said John Adams of the revolution. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready to stake upon it. And I leave off as I began, that live or die, survive or perish, I am for the Declaration. It is my life's sentiment, and by the blessing of God, it shall be my dying sentiment. Independence now, independence forever. Now, George Washington's pure heart, because of his Christianity, Benjamin Franklin's call to prayer, John Adams' reverence for the will of God symbolize the underlying commitment of our founding fathers to the creation of a nation which would glorify God. The American character was born in Scripture, that is God's Word, and it was nurtured by Holy Spirit. Yet today, our nation's heritage is under siege. Big time. Big time. There are many names for what we currently find ourselves in. Wokeism. Political correctness and cancel culture are some of them. But these only encapsulate a portion of the phenomena. Cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism, social justice, identity politics, and critical theory are broader descriptions. The term that adequately captures the religiosity of the movement, of this movement we find ourselves in, is wokeism. You hear that? Wokeism. You've probably heard a lot about it. Wokeism. It's the new religion. They may not say it, but it is. It has been infiltrating itself for quite a while. This movement did not start in Minneapolis on May 25th, 2020, of last year. The event on that day that happened acted as a watershed moment for an ideology that has been growing for decades, as I said. It's been in, it worked its way in through our colleges. It's in our school, it's working down to our schools. It's in our corporations. It's everywhere. Now they're working it into our military. Y'all really need to understand that what wokeism is really all about. You need to get a little bit more information for yourself, because I'm not going to spend all that time talking about it. But I'm making you aware. You've got to be awake and know. That's why we keep talking. This is the great awakening. The church is awake. We can't even let this try to get itself into the church. And they're trying. They're trying. We have to be on our guard. You will see, when you do look it up, how it calls evil good and good evil. In Proverbs 17, verse 15, this is what it's like. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Yeah, it's happening. But all I got to say is, God says, I have given us a warning. In Isaiah 5, 21 or 20 and 21, he says, woe! Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Be not wise in your own eyes. God gives that warning. Like, whoa. Whoa. By that, it's a condition of deep suffering from affliction, ruinous trouble, a disastrous event marked by great loss and lasting distress and suffering. God says, whoa. They better listen. For some of them, they're going to pay the price. And we know that. We see it. It's coming. It's coming. Their time is coming. They will not go unpunished. I'm telling you. Don't ever give up hope. Because there's no impossible with God. Nothing. Bishop James Madison warned of such a risk in 1795. And I quote, "The moment that religion, the pure and undefiled religion, loses its influence over our hearts, from that fatal moment, farewell to public and private happiness. Farewell, a long farewell, to virtue, to patriotism, to liberty." We were being warned. Took years to put the church to sleep. And the church is no longer asleep. Our voices are being heard. There are shows out there that are putting out the word. Getting people more aware of what is going on. What is going on in our nations. Not only our nations, right here in our hometowns. I've talked about school boards before. What they're making some of the teachers do. But some of them teachers are revolting. And we got to pray for them teachers that do take a stand. And they're taking a stand scripturally. And they're winning their cases. Years have passed since America was first conceived at Cape Henry. And respect for our roots. They're cold. You know, you got to keep a plant's the roots got to be warm so it can survive. When that frost hits and comes down over that plant, it can kill it. But if it, you know, we're down there with them roots. They aren't dead. The roots aren't dead. One undeniable fact, though, still remains for this nation. At its core, at its very soul, the United States of America is a Christian nation. Do not think that we are the minority. We are the majority. They're trying to convince us out that we are the minority. We are not. They're making you think that. There's been a reuniting and a bonding. We may have some differences, but not when it comes to the core values. We are established on Christian principles. And that is the Word of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We live in a blessed nation because of the Lord. So that's why we say, God bless America. So you think about what Denny said, and every time that you say, God bless America, what you're saying over this nation. It's powerful. We are a blessed nation because of the Lord. Because our God is the Lord. And we are one nation under God. Let me read you a few quotes here. This is Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Adams, second president of the United States, first vice president. The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Benjamin Franklin, we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, their labor is in vain that build it. That is Psalm 127, by the way, verse 1. He goes on to say, I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. That says a lot. They weren't very successful, were they? The church built America. The church built America. America did not build the church. History proves it out. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. There is none like us. And why? Because God is not their Lord. That's the difference, folks. God is not their Lord. Our allegiance is to this great nation, the United States of America. We as children learned to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's our job to teach it to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-nephews. Okay. It's our responsibility. Nobody else is. Nobody else is. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by Minister Francis Bellamy. Bellamy had hoped that the pledge would be used by citizens in any country. So in its generic form, said, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." But it wasn't until 1923 the words, "the flag of the United States of America," were added. Then it was said, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." But it wasn't until 1954 when, in response to the communist threat of the times, which we thought was only the times then, President Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words "under God," creating the 31-word pledge we say today. Communism has invaded this country. Subtly, it has come in. We were warned. As we come, God gave me this last night. As we come to Independence Day, we commemorate our freedoms. We shouldn't celebrate too quickly. We need to look seriously at what is happening around us. We are losing our freedom, and we are being defeated from within. And no one had to fire a shot. On March 20th, 1956, Russia's communist leader, Nikita Khrushchev, said, "We will take America without firing a shot. We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within." You know, there was a lot of people at the time, and I've talked to some people, they thought, that could never happen. No way! Wake up and smell the roses. Our nation was founded upon biblical principles and the very ideas of political freedom that guided our founding fathers came from the pages of the Bible. Though they were not perfect men, the founders saw Christianity and the Word of God as the bedrock of this nation. I believe they would be grieved if they could see how far we have strayed and how openly sin is accepted and celebrated. The United States has been a guardian of liberty for the world for many years, a place where rights like freedom of religion and speech were protected. Today, however, a new tyranny is at hand to erode these freedoms, rewrite our history, and take this nation in the opposite direction. Then I was reminded of John Lay. He was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he wrote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their leaders." Man, look at who's in office. Look at who's in office. That's why when we say that, and let's do what someone in the White House, the leader of this country, is supposed to say, and he can't even get the pledge right. Yeah, he tried to say it, and oh boy, did he butcher it. So let's say that right now with me. And we put our hand over our heart. See, that's part of the rule. Originally, when the pledges were made, they were made to do this. You know why, then that was struck down and said, we will do it this way. We weren't going to identify with those ungodly nations. Let's say this together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. 31 words, and he butchered them. Hallelujah. Go back to something we said a long time ago, isn't it, brother? It's a shame that they put someone like that, that we know that he was not going to be capable of leading this nation. And he isn't leading this nation. Oh, amen. Amen. That is totally right, brother. But I take great pride in saying the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, especially with my right hand over my heart. And I know all of you here in this sanctuary do also. See, the stars and stripes, the red, white, and blue, they mean a lot to me. Now, I am proud to be an American. I am proud to be an American. God bless the USA. We as a Christian and free nation, we also have a Christian flag. Right there. Right there. The Christian flag was first conceived on September 26, 1897, at Brighton, not the Brighton hot dog shop, at Brighton Chapel on Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, New York. Hey, you know, that's where Captain America's from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the ground, the backlay of that flag is white, representing peace, purity, and innocence. In the upper corner is a blue square. The color of the unclouded sky, it reminds us of heaven, the home of the Christian, also a symbol of faith and trust. In the center of the blue is the cross, the insignia and chosen symbol of Christianity. The cross is red, typical of Christ's blood. See, it wasn't long, though, before that there was a pledge made for our Christian flag. And it goes like this. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with liberty, life to all who believe. We even have a pledge to the Bible, God's holy word. The words for the pledge were written in 1924, and they are attributed to Homer Grice, a Southern Baptist minister. And he combined the scriptures and quotes from Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And verse 11 of 119. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it goes like this. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. I like them. But we'll get back to our country when we say the Pledge of Allegiance. allegiance, the loyalty of a citizen to his or her government, or of a subject to his or her sovereign. So when you think about that, we pledge allegiance to our country because of we are a citizen. Florina, that means a lot, doesn't it? You want to talk to somebody about that? Talk to her. She'll tell you what it's like. She came from a country that wasn't like the United States. So she proudly puts her hand over there. And she says that Pledge of Allegiance. That's why she looks at other people and says, you do not know what you have. You don't know what you have. People in this country think they're owed everything. And then when it says, though, a subject to his or her sovereign, that's a person who has supreme power or authority. That'd be good God Almighty. That's who we're talking about. That's who we submit to. That's who we submit to. In Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I'm going to key on the first part of that. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. The upright here is us, church. That's us. If a city can be filled, can be lifted up when God's people bless it, how much more nation? God bless America. We as God's people need to bless our nation. Today we celebrate our nation's independence. We will celebrate 245 years as a free nation. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. Our independence as a nation came with a high cost of lives and shed blood. Our freedom as believers came at a very high cost also. It was through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood freed us from the sentence of death, gave us eternal life with Him. Forever. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This holiday represents our country's foundation, and it represents how our country was founded, rooted, and established on Christian principles that are found in God's Word. The 4th of July holiday comes with much happiness and celebration, which includes picnics, cookouts, lots and lots of food, and fireworks. Lots of fireworks. Except in Mount Rushmore. And they aren't allowed. They aren't allowed. Government doesn't allow it. You know, there are reasons for saying that they're not going to do it, are a bunch of hogwash. They just don't want to repeat what happened when Trump was there. When Trump was invited and said, let's do this. He's a patriot. As we celebrate, we must never forget what it cost for our independence and what it cost to maintain it. Am I right, Rory? Rory has been one of the most recently that's been over there. He went to a foreign land to fight to make sure that our freedoms were maintained. Because if it gets out of control over there, it's going to make its way here. And he said, I'll go, send me. And he served us, served this nation. What he did was for our freedom to be maintained. Maintained. So, I exhort you, Pray for the nation. Pray for it daily. Because in James 5:16, the effectual, heartfelt, and persistent prayer of a believer is powerful and will accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God, who hears our prayers. It is dynamic and has tremendous power. Pray. Pray. Because Ephesians 6:11 tells us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We fight with God's Word. We fight with the Word. You know what I'm going to tell you? Word up! Word up! Keep the quiver full. Like the archer. You ever notice him in the superhero thing? He never ran out of arrows. Yourself, you got to make sure that you maintain that quiver being full. And that is by wording up. Word up. This morning, we're going to take communion. We're going to take communion for the healing of our nation and for its redemption. For its redemption. What is redemption? Being saved. Being saved. There's power in the blood. There's power in the broken body. Amen? So I'll ask the gentleman, come on down.